This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Heathrow Airport, the busiest in Europe, is closed right now and will be closed until tomorrow after a fire at an electrical substation nearby. London Fire Brigade Deputy Commissioner Jonathan Smith.
Fire involved a transformer comprising of 25,000 litres of cooling oil fully alight. This created a major hazard due to the still live high voltage equipment and the nature of the oil-fueled fire.
Heathrow serves more than 1,300 flights a day. More than 600 have already been canceled today. The NTSB is warning about the safety of a number of bridges in the wake of last year's Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore. They are recommending the owners of 68 bridges in 19 states that are frequented by cargo ships assess vulnerability in the case of a crash. President Trump's Justice Department is due in court today to answer a federal judge's questions about why Venezuelan deportations were carried out. This is ABC News. We've all been talking about the high price of groceries, but have you eaten out lately? ABC's Andrea Fuji says you might have to take out a small loan to afford it, especially if you want breakfast.
A new study from Finance Buzz found in the last 5 years, popular chain restaurants hiked their prices by an average of 42%. That's double the national inflation rate. Breakfast restaurants facing high egg prices saw the biggest increases. Waffle House nearly doubled their prices in the last 5 years. Prices at IHOP rising more than 80%. Among other chains topping the list, Texas Roadhouse at 46% and TGI Fridays at 45%. Andrea Fuji, ABC News, New York.
A couple of NCAA upsets that might have messed up your brackets. 10th seed Arkansas beat 7 seed Kansas last night. Number 11 seed Drake defeated 6 seed Missouri. The women's tournament begins today. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Earl Ingram.
Do you live your life in fear, man? Republicans continue to lead people to believe the boogeyman's coming to get you. It's those immigrants. It's people of color. They're coming to get your babies. Never mind. You live in River Hills where there's very little crime, if any. What are you afraid of, man? Nobody's coming to get you. And yet, people buy into that foolishness.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks drain the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. At one point, Milwaukee led by 35. Kyle Kuzma on what's kept the Bucks together despite losing 5 of their last 8.
I think our positivity as a group, our communication as a group. I think in that Golden State game and even OKC and the games prior, we kind of get into like a phase where we don't talk as much. We're like locked in. But I think consistently we did a good job of being positive and having a good spirit. I thought that was a good thing.
March Madness, Marquette faces the New Mexico Lobos tonight in Cleveland in the NCAA tournament. The Badgers advance after beating Montana yesterday, 85-66. John Blackwell led with 19 points. Up next, Wisconsin faces BYU tomorrow night at 6:25. And in Madison, the Boys State High School semifinals continue today at the Kohl Center. The state finals are tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's looking more and more like we should all avoid heading to the theaters to see The Alto Nights, where Robert De Niro plays gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. That's right, he plays both roles. Despite what producers thought was a solid script and Barry Levinson directing, the crime thriller is drawing only 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure if De Niro playing two roles has anything to do with it, but how hard could it have been to find another actor and not rely on a gimmick? Actress Jenny Slate initially supported her co-star Blake Lively in her sexual harassment complaints against Justin Baldoni. The three actors were all in the film It Ends With Us, where the controversy started. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, the star of Bob's Burgers and FX's new series Dying for Sex, says she only wanted to talk about her new show and will no longer discuss anything involving Baldoni, Lively, or It Ends With Us. All this drama will no doubt be a miniseries one day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a few sprinkles possible this afternoon with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s today. It will get a little breezy by later this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low to around 20. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. We'll see some scattered rain and snow tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will discuss if the Trump administration is defying court orders or just being cute. Plus, did the administration commit fraud and mass firings at the IRS? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Friday morning, March 21st. Nice to have you along. Appreciate you being with us for these 2 hours every weekday morning. Coming up in just a little bit, our regular Week in Review panel with journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, of whom we'll ask the simple question, is the President of the United States still accountable to the judicial branch of government in this country? In other words, for all the talk of sliding toward a constitutional crisis or threatening a constitutional crisis? Aren't we already in one? And we're kind of in national denial. We'll talk to our panel about that coming up. We'll talk to Dan Schumacher about sports as well, with the Badgers winning in the first round of the NCAA tournament and Marquette playing later on today. The Badger women's hockey team is in the Final Four starting this evening against the Minnesota Gophers. Just a busy day all around. So let's find out what the weather is going to be like for that. And for that, we have meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us about the lull. Lull. Hey, lull's a funny word. When you just think about that word, lull. We're in this lull. But between storm systems, what's it going to be like come Sunday when we get this next little batch of reminder that, hey, the calendar might say spring, but, you know, maybe not quite yet.
I know. It's a tug of war of winter and summer right now. We've got mostly sunny skies across the state at the moment, mid-20s to 30s out there. Breezy. Winds are gusting out of the south up to 25 to 30 miles per hour. And a south wind is a good wind if you want warmer temperatures. And that's what we're going to get today. Some upper 50s far south, low 50s into central parts of the state, and some low 40s far northwest today. We will become cloudy. We have a front that's going to be marching through the state, starting in the afternoon, far northwest, and working its way southeast towards Milwaukee tonight around 8-ish. Now, what's going to happen with this front? Not much. Honestly, probably a few scattered showers. Maybe a few flurries might mix in as it passes, but it'll be here really quick and it'll leave really fast as well. So this is not a major event. And we do stay sunny and calm tomorrow. A little bit cooler, mid-40s west, low 30s east and by Lake Michigan. And then on Sunday, we're probably going to see some winter weather advisories for a good northern half of the state and maybe a winter storm warning towards Rhinelander, because we're looking at some heavy accumulating snow hitting the Northwoods. About 3 to 6 inches is possible for a good chunk of the area. And then near Rhinelander, they could be nearing double digits. And this is going to be Sunday. It's going to be moving into the state pretty much Saturday night around 9 o'clock into the northwestern parts of the area as a wintry mix. It's going to be snow, sleet, then flipping over to rain as temperatures warm up. And down south, it's going to be rain most of the time, but this wintry mix will hit most of the state pretty much from Madison north. And this will be overnight Saturday and into our Sunday morning. Then it'll all be rain. Then it'll switch back to snow again. It's going to be a mess on Sunday.
So when do we get those temperatures near 80 back here again? I really like that last Friday. Can we do that again real soon?
Maybe in May.
Well, yeah, I know. It is what it is. All right. Yeah. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great. Well, wait. We didn't make a stop in Tigerton, as we are wont to do at this time of day. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Partly cloudy and 28 degrees. It was a beautiful sunny day yesterday. With the snow we had, it made the scenery beautiful, beautiful with the trees. I took some pictures. He said, I slept over 9 hours last night after being up all night Wednesday plowing snow. I finished up yesterday morning and watched the Badgers beat Montana yesterday afternoon. And then he concludes by saying spring truly starts on May 1st. In other words, Roger just wants to continue making the money. So he give does. That man some more money making snow, if you would, please. So, okay. See, we take care of you, Rob. All right. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You too.
It is coming up on 7-Eleven right now, and in sports, as we said, and as you just heard there from Rob, the Wisconsin Badgers were winners. They pulled away from Montana at the end of their first round game, 85-66 over the Grizzlies, sweeping away the ghosts of last year's first round loss to James Madison. Up next is BYU. That game will be tomorrow evening, 6:45. CBS has the TV, but you should listen on the radio if you're in Amory or Wisconsin Rapids or Richland Center, where you can hear the game on one of our Civic Media stations there. Not on the Civic Media app, however, during the NCAA tournament. So if you're in those locales, tune in the game on the radio to the Badgers BYU Saturday at 6:45. Marquette's first round game is this evening. It'll be on TBS. They're a 7 seed. They'll be taking on 10 seed New Mexico. So you can catch that on the television. And the Badger women's hockey team, as I said, they're in the Final Four for the NCAA tournament. They are playing in the Twin Cities, taking on the hosts, the Golden Gophers of the University of Minnesota, coming up later this evening. Giannis scored 28 points last night, and the Bucks defeated the shorthanded L.A. Lakers 118-89. L.A. was without LeBron, without Luka. They were without their top four scorers and five of their top six due to injuries. And yet still, the Bucks were somewhat lucky to come out with a win, given that they shot 11 for 35 from three-point range. That would have been absolutely miserable for me to watch, watching 24 attempted three-pointers just clang against the rim. But the Bucks road trip continues out west. They are in Sacramento tomorrow, then in Phoenix on Monday, and in Denver next Wednesday. So there's a quick look at sports at 7:12 on this Friday morning. Let me take just a moment to note that the Wisconsin Assembly was in session yesterday, and as a result of that, and as a result of a schedule mix-up, I just wanted to make clear that yesterday we had on State Senator Jeff Smith. We were also going to have on State Representative Vinnie Moresi. That was my mistake in arranging the booking of it. So when you didn't hear the representative yesterday, that was entirely my fault. And I apologize to the representative and hope that he will come join us again real soon. He was prepping for a session day, and it was one of those session days that can wear a person down, as can any consistent bullying, which is really what we had again yesterday by Republicans in the State Assembly working on several different bills, all designed to target transgender youth when it comes to sports, when it comes to their medical care, when it comes to their name. All these details I'm bringing you come from Baylor Spears at the Wisconsin Examiner. Read Baylor stuff, all of it, at wisconsinexaminer.com. In it, Baylor notes that according to the trans legislation tracker, all across the country, some 796 bills have been introduced targeting the trans community. In other words, Republicans, not just in Congress, but in state capitals everywhere, are engaged in such a colossal waste of your time and resources to tug on emotional heartstrings in order to win elections and remain in political power, where they can then go forward with their actual agenda, which has much more to do with tax cuts for the wealthy, gutting environmental regulations, gutting worker protections, making it harder for consumers to get a good deal. Those are the things that they want to accomplish. But to do so, they've got to win elections. And to do that, they find it easy to engage in bullying. Now, the hearings on these bills the last couple of weeks in committee, according to Baylor's story, were emotional and lengthy, lasting more than 20 hours, with the vast majority of people testifying against the bills. But Republicans dismissed all that, saying that the policies that they are passing are popular. They cited a Marquette poll that found 71% of U.S. adults favor requiring transgender athletes to compete on teams that match the sex they were assigned at birth. Now, it's unlikely these bills are going to become law. Governor Evers has been very steadfast in his support of the LGBTQ community, and there's no reason to think that he would change. But, of course, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss thinks that it will. He says, quote, "At some point, you would hope that public pressure would convince Governor Evers that he has to change his stance. We have seen some very brave Democrats across the country realize that their party has veered way too far to the left, and if they want to win elections again and they want to be on the side of the public, they're going to have to change their stance." Well, that gets me to the interesting point here of some Democrats beginning to splinter over trans rights and over diversity, equity, and inclusion. Democrats like California Governor Gavin Newsom, who had been seen as a rising star in the party. Rahm Emanuel was another example of one. And others who are backing off their more vocal support of the trans community. And look, if you want to win elections, if that's what you're all about, and you feel like not coming to the defense of a bullied group is the way to get there, well, you know, more power to you. But I'll say again that even though the politics isn't on the side of progressives in this case, it is clear that progressives and Democrats are not leading with this issue. They are leading on things like job creation, middle-class tax relief, affordable housing, being able to afford your health care, having a good school for your kids. But there's another thing that progressives and Democrats stand for, and that's against bullying. So it's not Democrats or progressives who are leading with discussions about the trans community. It's Republicans who are doing this intentionally because they know that Democrats and progressives are going to stand up for any community that is being bullied. And then as a result, they can point and say, oh, you see, that's all these Democrats talk about, is they're just about the LGBTQ community. When it's really about nothing more than making sure that in America, everybody has a chance to live their lives and their pursue happiness on their terms when they're not harming others. Now, you'll get, as Robin Voss did, you bring up again the ridiculous prospect of, you know, genital mutilation of minors and other things that are simply gutless scare tactics done in service of billionaires who you want to serve through tax cuts and through industry who you want to serve by gutting things that would protect our water and our air, save the North Woods from being overrun with sulfide mining and things like that. The politics may not be on the side of progressives who come to the defense of those who are bullied, but that does not mean that we should ever let up on the notion that we should be here for one another, that people should be able to live their lives and live their truths. And the last thing government needs to be doing, big government, is being a big government bully in dictating things. Let the private side, let people work these things out for themselves. And government should let people live their lives. More after this. You're up north. Is the show over today?
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments.
as many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Winter is out and winning is in. It's our Break into Spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize, a brand new Verlo Queen mattress set complete with a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your station, then get set to win starting Monday, March 24th. It's time to break into spring with WLCX. The Todd Allbus Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. I know. It's just all over the world. I mean.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher, they had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Well, we'll be talking lawyers, maybe guns and money as well, with Jim Santel, Jennifer Schulze, and Mark Jacob coming up in just a bit. From the text line, Mark in Sussex. And I want to share this because I know that this is a very well-recited point. Mark in Sussex texts, love it when Democrats defend transgenders, when 75% of people are against men competing in women's sports. Living their lives is one thing. Get the hell out of female sports, is how he concludes. And again, there's a lot of people who genuinely feel that way. There's a lot of people who genuinely feel that somebody would go through what is times the living nightmare of determining their gender and living their life and perhaps going through surgical and healthcare matters. There's people that believe they do all that just to win a trophy in a sports tournament. Are you kidding me? Now, look, the NCAA for a time had rules. The IOC had rules for a time on testosterone levels. This is still a state of flux that we're in. We're working our way through how we do this in a way that is fair to all who want to compete in sports. And whether it's measuring testosterone levels, whether it's waiting periods, whatever it is, that way can be found. But for the people who take these kinds of positions and want the freedom to look down everybody's shorts before they compete in something, that's the thing that's gross. Get the hell out of there, Mark, and everybody else. End of rant. Let's bring in our Week in Review panel here. Journalist Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And if you're watching on social media, Jim Santel is with us. He's just camera shy today. How did you put it, Jim? You look like you got in a bar fight.
Exactly. I did not, but I didn't want to share that with any of your listeners who happen to be looking on Streamline this morning. So still we'll just talk and not see me, which is always a good thing.
I always use the phrase, I don't want to frighten the villagers. So no, it's okay. Don't have a problem with that. Let us start with you, and then we're going to talk to Mark and then Jennifer more about what President Trump is doing that, again, in my mind, isn't leading us toward a constitutional crisis. We're already in one. So can you set the stage, Jim, for where we are in terms of the judge who wants more information on whether he's been ignored in saying your
perhaps illegal deportations have to stop. You have to turn planes around. And the Trump administration going, what? What? Can't hear you. What's this about? Where are we at?
Exactly. And so there are an awful lot of people, I think I would include myself in this folder, who say that the constitutional crisis actually began last Saturday when the judge previously articulated clearly from the bench. And oh, by the way, here's your civics lesson. When a judge says something to the bench and says, Mr. Santel, you do this, you don't have to wait for the judge to commit that to paper. That's not necessary. That's the order of the court. And in the wake of that, we're now 6 days later, and in 2 hours, he is still asking the same questions of the Department of Justice attorneys. He's looking for answers to five simple questions about where is the plane? When did it take off? Who did it carry? When did it land? Where is it right now? These are not difficult issues. All you need to do is call up your client, a federal client, and get the answers. The fact that we're not hearing from this is more than just contempt, which is very well where the judge may be going on this. But it is, frankly, once again, the open door now to the constitutional crisis you speak about, Pat. Why? Because you've got a branch of government that is simply saying no to another branch of government.
But where do we go from here? In other words, what is the next step? Does the judge consider finding the lawyers in contempt or jail them or somebody in the administration below the level of the president? Because then the president responds within 5 minutes by saying, well, I'm giving them a full pardon. Or the president responds to the judge, you and what army? I mean, either one of those things strikes me as entirely possible as early as today.
Right. And that is the crisis part of this, right? That's what James Madison never envisioned. He never envisioned that we'd have a president, a branch of government saying simply no. And beyond that, we also, this is why we don't know the answer to that question. We're at that stage. And I'll underscore this. We've got heard from plainly the president. We've heard from Tom Homan, who's talked to again about we're simply not abiding. But here's the one that's really concerning for all Americans. Our attorney general, chief federal law enforcement officer, has gone on record and said, we're not going to follow. Who is this federal judge? A single federal judge, unelected, can tell us what the law is? Well, Attorney General Bondi, that's exactly how our system works. And you're saying that is also, you're now walking through that door of a constitutional crisis.
Oh, without a doubt. But yet, Mark Jacob, the New York Times, says, President Trump's, quote, expansive interpretation of presidential power, end quote, has become the defining characteristic of his second term.
Right. It's just a philosophical difference. You know,
yeah, that's it.
The great thinker, Donald Trump, is he's wondering, he's doing his own interpretation of his powers, and they're expansive. What a surprise that is. Instead of just the New York Times saying it's a power grab by a guy who, you know, who wants to, you know, to squash Congress and to squash the judiciary. I mean, this what Jim is talking about. This giant power of the presidency has been really a problem for decades, for a long time, because Congress has willingly given up power to the president. And you know, and here we have the Supreme Court on the other side, and the judiciary side. We have the Supreme Court that you know you have to wonder how they're going to come down on this whole issue. So it's really kind of a scary time. But for the just to get back to your point, the idea that the New York Times thinks it's some sort of just debate discussion, you know, about, you know, expansive, you know, interpretations. No, it's a power grab. It's the president of the United States trying to destroy the separation of powers and establish a dictatorship. That's really what it is. And why don't they say it?
Well, that is, of course, the big question, and the one that I'm going to ask out loud here in the couple of seconds left before a break, and then we're going to pick up with Jennifer Schulze after that, is, again, I don't expect that Jim Santel is supposed to have the answer, or Mark Jacob or Jennifer, but we are at a point where somewhere along the line, we're not going to know the answer of what happens next. And I don't even want to speculate out loud, because you then risk sounding alarmist. But it is time to sound some alarm bells if the president continues to defy the courts of the United States of America. Our Week in Review panel will continue right after this on Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A vivid new report's been released showing just how much of Wisconsin is rural. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. This new report titled The Rural-Urban Balance in Wisconsin was released by the recently formed Rural Policy Institute. Bob Welch is its executive director and explains their goals.
You know, nobody's really looking into rural issues as rural issues. And you're sort of a missing think tank in Wisconsin and maybe in a wider area, quite frankly. We here at the Welch Group, who work with a lot of farm groups, together with Farm Bureau, with the Towns Association and the Rural Electric Co-ops, all sat down and said, you know, what should this look like? And we kind of came up with this idea of the Rural Policy Institute. And again, we're not going to be an advocacy group saying, hey, legislators, vote for something. But we are going to be exploring issues and letting people know what's going on in rural Wisconsin.
Bob Welch, executive director of the Rural Policy Institute. If you're interested in taking a look at the new information about how much of Wisconsin is truly rural, it's all up online. ruralpolicyinstitute.org, also on their LinkedIn account. This is going to be a part of the discussion with lawmakers next week at the annual Ag Day at the Capitol event.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And 10 education programs across the state are picking up $500 grants from the Wisconsin Ag in the Classroom program. Beth Schaefer, the executive director, says it's part of their Ag in All Classrooms effort. One example of a project funded includes the Menominee Indian High School in Kashina getting a $500 grant for an indigenous medicine garden. You can see more details on the projects that are funded on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a few sprinkles possible this afternoon with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s today. It will get a little breezy by later this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low to around 20. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. We'll see some scattered rain and snow tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little bit of a spring break, but we got a very special best of episode for you. And look forward to John and Gordy in the seat for the Maggie Dawn Show next week.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It was on this date in 1964 that the Beatles had their second number one hit in America with She Loves You, after their first chart topper, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Let's go back to our weekend review panel here and start by telling you about Jim Santel, because you can hear him every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on Amicus, A Law Review. Then there is Mark Jacob. You can catch his newsletter at stopthepresses.news, along with his on-target video series from Stephen Beschloss. And Jennifer Schulze's newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, can be found at Substack. Go to Substack and look up at News Jennifer. And Jennifer, who could not get an edge in word-wise with all these men yapping, we're going to start with you this time around. The question before the break was, you know, where do we go from here, either in terms of, you know, the actual operation of the government, or at least where do we go from here in the coverage of this breakdown in our government? What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, I think I have a question about all of it, and that is, who is going to say no to Donald Trump?
Right.
We're seeing big law, big tech, the universities, all, you know, bend a knee. The other story that's terrifying this morning is that Elon Musk is being briefed on, you know, secret war plans against China today. I mean, I still can't get over, why is Elon Musk where he is doing what he's doing, and why aren't there more calls for that to stop? But who's going to say no? And I think part of the reason there aren't a lot of people saying no is, well, Trump controls all the levers of government at this point. But there also, I don't believe, is the proper alarm being raised in the various media outlets that we have. I'm not sure most Americans know what's going on. And I think they have some top level ideas that Elon Musk, there's protests about him, he's firing people, and Donald Trump is doing some things, and egg prices are still high. But I just went through the New York Times since Trump was elected. And I tried to find, is there any point where they, like, basically, as the leading newspaper in the country, are putting their foot down and saying this needs to stop, the way that they did about Joe Biden? They were very clear that Joe Biden needed to drop out of the race. You know, so I think media entities can have a voice in the country. I'm not sure everybody will hear it, but I'm not seeing a lot of media coverage that A, is specific about what's happening, and B, is then taking a stand and saying, this is not normal. I just don't feel like we're getting that. That's getting through yet. I think,
Mark,
it's just another day.
Mark, Jennifer stole your headline. You had a tweet yesterday that said, my lifelong admiration to any news outlet willing to lead its website with a simple headline, none of this is normal. Any takers?
Yeah, no takers so far, Pat, unfortunately. I've also, you know, posted on social media before that one of the most frightening things about what's happening right now is people who don't have any idea what's happening right now. You know, that they don't realize that there really is an attempt to destroy, like, end our democracy and to replace it with a dictatorship that's in effect run by, kind of like Putin's Russia is run by a dictator and then his business oligarchs and all that. I mean, that's happening right now in front of our eyes. And some people who are just sitting on the couch, you know, watching TV, have no idea. And I like TV too. I'm really following the NCAAs, loving it. But people need to pay attention to what's going on right now.
But the problem here, again, is that it would be one thing if every federal judge, Jim Santel, were to, you know, stand up for this. That would be something that media would report on. But, you know, you've got Eileen Cannon down there in Florida, Jim, and it doesn't take much. And it only takes, you know, the resignation of key people, maybe the resignation of key generals and things like that. But there's always going to be some underling who's going to come up or get a spot on the federal bench and go, yeah, I'm going to go along with this too. So, I mean, the checks and balances are taking it on the chin right now, Jim.
They certainly are. And to Mark's and Jennifer's good headline, I would say beyond just this is not normal America. This is not legal America. This is not constitutional America. And perhaps our lesson should be in recent history, the pre-Gaza war Israelis who did what? They went into the streets when Benjamin Netanyahu was about to change the courts there. And they shut down the government, or they shut down the state. Look at the South Koreans when the president there attempted to impose martial law. Within hours, they were at the National Assembly and they were stopping that from happening. And it does take that kind of courage. And maybe it does now finally have to come from the people themselves, as Jennifer and Mark have said, with enough education about the extent to which this is a threat, not just to Venezuelan immigrants, but to them as well. And when indeed you do not get your Social Security benefits, and indeed your children are dying of measles, and yes, indeed, your economic crisis is keeping you from being able to purchase gas and food for your family, it is time for the media, and yes, indeed, lawyers as well, to have their hair on fire. And that includes, as Jennifer just said, terrible story. Paul Weiss Rifkin making its peace with the Oval Office. Shame on you. Shame on my profession for kowtowing. They know better than that. And that should be condemned again by the New York Times and by everyone else out there as well. When but you've got that kind of depth, that's the problem.
But when you get, like I said, it only takes a handful, and you shared a CNN article about a judge filming himself in his chambers loading a handgun in protest of a law that bans gun magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. You've got federal judges now who have no problem, you know, flouting the law on video for social media. It's amazing.
It's outrageous, right? It is outrageous. And again, this is an appeals court judge. This is not a district court judge opposing an en banc decision of the entire Ninth Circuit, applying Justice Department and Supreme Court law on guns in America. And there, once again, you've got just enough of a judicial poster child like Eileen Cannon, like this judge in California, to say, see, there are federal judges who support this too. They are wildly in the minority, but there are enough of them out there to cause that view of the judiciary as well.
It gets us to this point here, Mark Jacob, and that is this judge made this video to say, here's why I disagree with this ruling. In other words, instead of just writing a dissenting opinion, he's now making a video and posted it on social media. I mean, this term is used in the law all the time, but if ever there was a slippery slope, it's dissenting judges now taking to social media to try to get popular support for their case rather than writing out their dissent based on the law. This is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, right. And it goes to this whole, might is right kind of mentality. I do think that the majority of the American people still believe in rule of law and respect the law, and they are law-abiding citizens. So it's really important for the media and all of us to remind people that the Trump administration is breaking the law all the time. I mean, these departments that they're shutting down, they were appropriated by Congress. They were created by Congress. The money is there. That they're refusing to spend it, and they are firing people, and they're breaking the law every day. And the more we become used to it, the more they're going to do it. So it's really important for us to drop in sentences that say they are illegally shutting the Department of Education. You know, they can't really shut the Department of Education without going to Congress and getting them to vote on it, which they haven't done yet.
Oh, that so seems to be missing, Jennifer, is just sliding in that little note, you know, instead of just saying Trump is signing an order shuttering the Department of Education, is Trump signing an order, an extra legal order or an illegal order, something like that, that again is factually correct. But let me look at the news coverage from a different standpoint, Jennifer, because again, they're cutting things that have already been budgeted for. There's been people who have had to be brought back after a court order, but then they go and cancel the lease on the building so they don't have an office to work at anymore. Are there any entities out there that you've seen that are doing an especially noteworthy job in tracking the cost of all this, the expense of all this,
the chaos of all of this.
Well, the chaos is pretty easy, but I mean, at some point, Elon Musk is saying, "Oh, we've saved billions of dollars." But there are a few outlets out there, I think, that are kind of looking at the numbers and going, "No, the numbers don't add up. You're not really saving money here."
Well, and so here's the New York Times is actually doing a really good job with that. David Fahrenthold, who used to work at the Washington Post and is a kind of a numbers investigative reporter, he's doing a really excellent job of trying to figure out what's what. And he had a piece the other day where he pointed out that Doge has changed its the information that it's putting forward because they were getting caught in so many lies. And so he pointed out that it's even harder now to figure out what they're actually doing. But it's so far, you know, like 0.00001% of possible savings, with absolutely no indication of what kind of savings they're talking about. You know, it's important to point out that all of the workers who are fired that were ordered to come back are not actually in the office, but they are being paid. So no savings there. These offices where everyone was ordered to return to work had not ever been designed in the last several years to house all these people. So now there's all kinds of expenditures trying to find spaces for people to work that were ordered back to work. So it is chaos. It's also very costly. But it's hard to figure out exactly what the numbers are, because let's be honest, Doge is not, they don't really know what they're doing.
No,
and they throw these numbers and these agencies and these contracts and everything they put out there, I'd say you should not trust any of it. But it's really hard to figure out exactly what's going on. But the New York Times is doing a really good job tracking it. Some of the other
There's also here from Steve in Milwaukee on the text line, sends in doge.muskwatch.com, which is a website that has also been tracking, you know, claimed cuts, itemized touch. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's right. So that's another good one to look at as well. Tony writing on YouTube, Musk is so bad at efficiency that they are now paying for services the workers can't do.
Yes.
And that's my point. For people who say, oh, well, they're just exposing all the fraud and waste in government. No, Mark, this is what Musk is doing is literally the waste, fraud and abuse that wasn't actually happening until these jokers came around.
Well, and just think about it, the IRS. All right. So every time they fire an IRS agent, they mean the government's getting less money. Every time you hire an IRS agent, they're worth four or five times their salary in how much fraud gets caught and how many, you know. I mean, in effect, they are trying to weaken the IRS so that rich people can cheat on their taxes. That's what's really going on right now.
Right.
I mean, because if they really cared about the federal budget and all the, you know, fair people paying their fair share of taxes and, you know, to support the government, they would not be hurting the IRS. They would not be trying to, you know, cut out the legs out from the IRS.
Yeah. And I'll end with we started with an incendiary comment from Mark in Sussex, and we'll end with one where he writes in on the text line, Trump is doing exactly what he ran on. Promises kept. People voted him in. there are still people who have that point of view, but there is a growing number of Americans who either supported or voted for Trump who are looking and saying, no. This kind of chaos, this kind of harm, this kind of long-term damage to the country, that is not what most people voted for. Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and Jim Santel, thank you all so much. Always great to talk to you all. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you next week. Take care.
All right. When we come back, Dan Schumacher will be here. We will talk a little sports. There's some madness going on out there in this March. We'll have more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Judge Brad Schimel surrounds himself with extremists. He's supported by national and state anti-abortion organizations because he opposes abortion rights. But don't take my word for it. Hear it from Schimel himself. When asked about abortion, he said,
"We have to shut this down. We have to shut this down."
When asked about Wisconsin's abortion ban, which doesn't include exceptions for rape, incest, or health of the mother,
"The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is flawed about that law? What is flawed about that law?"
Brad Schimel takes the side of extremists and would place politicians in charge of decisions that individuals should be making. By taking the side of extremists, he's not listening to Wisconsin residents. Tell Judge Brad Schimel, keep extremist politics out of our court decisions. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We appreciate the groundbreaking efforts of Jeanine Geske. She dedicated her career to transforming the criminal justice landscape. Geske taught in prison and collaborated with victims groups. She continued to champion for change as a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court during the 1990s. And in recognition of her impact, she was named the Milwaukee Bar's Lawyer of the Year twice. She also made history in 2002 as the first and still the only woman to serve as Milwaukee County Executive, an interim role worked without pay. Geske's now a professor of law at Marquette University's Restorative Justice Initiative, which she founded in 2005. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Jane Matnair.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Red and white, blue suede shoes. I was having this discussion with some friends yesterday about when are things going to be normal again? When are things going to be like just as they should be? And it just, those first few notes of whatever Grateful Dead song that was like, yeah. This is normal. This is normal. Greg is back. Dan is back. The Grateful Dead are back at 7:52 on a Friday morning. This is my little 7 minutes of normal
for
the entire week. So,
ironically, the song is called U.S. Blues.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Playing the blues
back.
Is normal.
They're back, Pat.
Living the blues.
Last night was their first night back at the Sphere in Las Vegas for the next month. They're going to be residency there for another month.
Are they Dead and Company or the Grateful Dead?
They're called Dead and Company.
Okay.
Dead Forever is the name of the tour.
Gotcha.
The other thing that's interesting is that Peter Shapiro, who basically put on the 50-year Grateful Dead concert series at Soldier Field and stuff, he just opened Garcia's Number 2. Garcia's it's a completely Grateful Dead themed restaurant and concert hall in Chicago. They have one on the East Coast, which is part of the Capitol Theater. So a little Grateful Dead news walking around here. So
Dan, Pat, maybe a summer trip this summer.
I would do that.
If we
going home for me.
If we did all the trips that we talk about doing on the show, all the road trips and things, we would never be back in the studio again, which, you know, hey, with the right setup, I could see doing that. That'd be fine. Dan was yesterday. You know, I know that you're a busy person, but we also know the NC2As are what they are. Were you were you much of a couch potato yesterday or a sports bar aficionado?
I have a TV. Okay. So I flipped a back and forth. I did watch on my computer, to be honest with you. In the Final Four for Division III, UW Stout Women and UW Oshkosh were both in the Final Four. They both lost yesterday, but I was following them to see how they make the championship game. So, yeah, it was a day of basketball. I thought the best game yesterday was the McNeese State game. They upset.
Were they a 12? Yeah, they were 12 beating a 5, right?
Right, yeah. They beat 5. And then I watched the Wisconsin game, of course.
Well, you know, the Wisconsin game, I'll say this much. The last game I saw, of course, was the championship game for the Big Ten tournament, where they're going up against Michigan with these seven-footers, and so they got to just try nothing but three-pointers. There was such a difference between that and yesterday's game against Montana, where it was like, okay, instead of hitting them over the green monster, we're now hitting them over a snow fence. You know, they were just able to, they were able to fire at will when you've got a team without seven footers, shall we say. It was just a, it was a different caliber of basketball overall. What are your thoughts on Wisconsin and Marquette and whether they'll go deep into the tournament or if they're much more of a...
I think Wisconsin's got a better chance of going deeper in the tournament than Marquette.
Uh-huh.
I do. Just because of those reasons you just said, Pat, I think Coach Gard is a great coach. He's got a whole new lineup from last year to this year. I think they're playing well. They have a couple big men that can really bang it down low into the paint. So when you have a combination of that, you know, I wish the kid who played transfer to Louisville would have stayed at Wisconsin, that guy who had the multicolored hair. Forget the kid's name, point guard. He's really good. But I like my chances with Wisconsin going to the Elite Eight. That's where I see it.
All right. We are 6 days away from the Brewers opening their season, but the season has already opened overall. And so your first place Milwaukee Brewers with a record of 0-0, we can say they're in first place because currently at the bottom of the National League Central with a record of 0-2. Would be the Chicago Cubs, who I guess did not. They were basically batting practice for the LA Dodgers for those games in Tokyo. Yes, Mr. Bach.
I'm going to say this. Yeah. Last year with Craig Counsell starting his first year as coach, you know, Milwaukee talked a lot of smack, especially the fact that Milwaukee did way better than people expected. But yes. I am expecting, whether it's this season or next season, I'm going to wait for Craig Counsell's magic to turn on for that team. Because I will bow and be like, yep, there we go. Because I don't want to be one of these smack talking Brewers fans, and then all of a sudden the Cubs just destroy and level everyone in their way because Craig Counsell is a lucky boy.
That's right. I still don't agree with some of his decision making when it comes to pulling pitchers right away. Constantly,
he loves
too early to me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That part is true, but yeah, again, he's not a baseball dummy, you know.
No.
So yeah, your point is very well taken. You underestimate Craig Counsell at your own peril, but that's no fun. The fun part is rubbing it in that they're 0-2 already. I mean, if you can't have fun with your friends, the Cubs fans, who can you have fun with?
Pat, right? Dan, I have the perfect either a Brewers game in Milwaukee or a Cubs game in Chicago, and then we go to Garcia's number two. It's a weekend, a boys' weekend. Come on, who's with me?
Again with the road trip.
Hey, you know what? It might be coming to cards because I'm unemployed come May 31st.
There we go. What a scrub. Get your money and go.
I don't see that lasting.
No, no,
you're a man in demand. But
yeah, they did tell us this week, though, just from a news standpoint, Monday, the board of trustees let everybody know what their last day would be in writing in a letter. So
so we know when to have the party. We know when to have the party, and we'll try to make it in a way that Greg can come join us. So, Dan, you stick around. I want to talk to you quick after the show here, if you can.
Yes, sir.
And Greg Bach is going to be back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air. Yeah, actually, he is Matt and Air on Air today.
I am. I'm hosting. It'll be great. Dr. Yes, Lyerly is our co-host for the first hour.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so you're going to want to tune in for that.
Yes, please.
And I'm going to tell you that next week on the program, we are going to have on Monday, Tom Kemp, the chair of the UW-Eau Claire Economics Department, talking about the impact of tariffs on Wisconsin. We are going to have Richard Trent, the national director of Main Street Alliance, talking about the impact on small business of what President Trump has done so far, and much more ahead in the week to come. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
We're talking about Trump tariffs as well as other news for Wisconsin with Dr. Kristen Lyerly in the first hour. Hari Kundabolu is our guest in the second hour, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Matt Nair on Air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A massive fire causing a power outage that shut down London's Heathrow Airport. Chaos for nearly 150,000 travelers at one of the world's busiest airports. It could be closed until tomorrow. President Trump, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and Elon Musk all denying a New York Times report that Musk will be shown a presentation today on how the U.S. would respond if there was a war with China. Musk will be visiting the Pentagon. A new study about weed and your heart.
Data on more than 4.6 million people shows that young marijuana users are six times more likely to suffer a heart attack than those who abstain. Researchers say cannabis may affect heart rhythm and raise oxygen demand in the heart muscle, even in people under 50 years old. The study is published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology.
ABC's Jim Ryan. As promised, President Trump signing an executive order on Thursday aimed at shutting down the U.S. Department of Education. This is ABC News.